that they are not part of this world. Like we see many people struggling, you know, in life. But that's not the same type of struggle. Prabhupada's struggle had a meaning, and the meaning was that he wanted to take Krishna consciousness from India to America. That was the meaning. And his entire life is very glorious. The activities of Vaishnava, they represent the instructions on the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is divided in basically into the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. And the person Bhagavatam acts as the book Bhagavatam. It's like a walking Bhagavatam. If you've seen Prabhupada's life since he was a child, he was always representing the teachings of the Bhagavatam. He was born in a family of devotees of Krishna on the 1st of September, which year? 1896, in Calcutta. And this was the day after Jamashtami. And at night in Jamashtami, his mother was undergoing labor. And then the following day, the 1st of September, he was born. And he was given the name of Abhay Charan, which means fearless, one that has no fear, because he has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And he was born in a little house in Duligung, a suburb of Calcutta. And in accordance with the Bengali tradition, his mother had gone to her parents' house for the birth. And then after that, she would come back to their own house. And at that time, an astrologer, he made a horoscope for Abhay Charan. And in that horoscope, he told the parents and the family that this child has a very auspicious horoscope. When he reached the age of 70, he's going to cross the ocean. He's going to become a big religious leader, and he's going to open 108 temples. We're sitting in one of them now. That's part of the prediction. And he lived, when he was born, at 151 Harrison Road in Calcutta. And this road is still there, and the devotees now have that house as a property of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In his childhood, there was a temple across the street. It was the temple of Radha Govinda. And this temple is still there. You can go and visit. And his father, Gormohan, there. He used to go to that temple and take Abhay with him. And Abhay would stand by the door with folded hands, and sometimes he would be praying to the deities of Radha Govinda for hours. Prabhupada said, for hours I would stand there praying to the deities of Radha Govinda. And the deities were so beautiful, Prabhupada said. And actually, years later, Prabhupada went back to India with Achyutananda. And at that temple of Radha Govinda, an Indian gentleman came and told Prabhupada, it wasn't Achyutananda, I'm sorry, it was, he was here and he is in India, not in Vrindavan. He used to live here in Alatra, working for Sacred Threads. What's his name? Gopal. Gopal, yeah. So Gopal was with Prabhupada, and this Indian gentleman came and said, Swamiji, now Gopal was a brahmachari. And on those days, brahmacharis were very, very serious about the association with the opposite sex. And this man told Prabhupada, Swamiji, please bless me with a husband for my daughter. Good husband for my daughter. And Prabhupada didn't pay much attention. And again, the man said, please, Swamiji, bless me with a good husband for my daughter. And on the third time, the man came, please, Swamiji. Prabhupada said, okay, here is a good husband for your daughter, Gopal. And Gopal, after the ceremony, he went back to the ISKCON temple and he said, I have to hide somewhere. I'm not going to marry. So he decided to go on traveling sankirtan. So the Prabhupada used to worship these deities. And also when he was a child, he liked to eat puffed rice with his father. And he also wanted to organize a Ratha Yatra festival. He was only 5 years old, but he heard about the big Ratha Yatra festival in Jagannath Puri, and he wanted to organize the same type of festival in his place. So his father was able to buy a small car and transform it into a Rata Yatra car. But Abai was very serious about the festival, and he wanted all the colors to match the colors of the original Rata Yatra car. He wanted the banner on the top. He wanted everything first class. And he went around in the neighborhood convincing all the ladies to cook for the festival and everybody to participate. And for Abai, was a real festival, and his father was obeying all his desires. Perhaps, Prabhupada said, my father knew that in the future there would be many Rata Yatras in all the major cities of the world. But this Rata Yatra that we have now everywhere started with this festival when Prabhupada was only 5 years old. Prabhupada was also known as Kachori Mukhi. And the reason was he liked very much with kachoris. Kachori is a savory made in India, this size, fried with vegetables inside. And he would watch the man cooking kachoris on the street, and he would watch his mother and the other ladies, and he said, that's how I learned how to cook. Now, I never took any formal cooking classes, but just watching people cooking, I learned how to cook. And one day, at night, he wanted more kachoris, and his mother said, no, you cannot eat more kachoris. Go to bed. So he went to bed, but he was very upset. And when his father came home, his father said, where is Abai? Oh, he wanted more kachoris. I told him to go to bed. And his father said, no, wake him up. I'm going to cook kachoris for him. And he had the vest, and he would fill his vest with kachoris, in all the pockets. That's why he was called Kachori Mukhi. His father also gave him a murti of Krishna, and he used to worship this murti of Krishna since childhood. And Prabhupada used to say that his father also used to worship the deities at home. He would not wake up very early, but he would be worshiping the deities at least until 10 a.m., and then he would go to his store. He was a cloth merchant. He had a store. And then he would come early and worship the deities again. And Prabhupada said that my father's real business was deity worship. The store was only to maintain the family, but his real business was to worship the deities. And his father also paid for a Mridanga teacher. He wanted his son to be a preacher of Krishna consciousness. He wanted his son to learn how to play mridangam, to do bhajans, to learn the scriptures. But his mother, Rajani, she was thinking, what is the benefit of this playing mridangam? It's better he become a lawyer, go to London and become a lawyer. And his father said, no, I don't want his money. I don't want him to go there and be contaminated by that culture. I want him to be a devotee of the Lord. And when sadhus came to your house, to their house, many sadhus came, and Guru Mohan was a very liberal man. He would invite all of them to come to their home and to eat prasadam. He would always have one prayer to them. What was that prayer? Bless my son that he will become a devotee of Srimati Radharani. That was his prayer. So all parents can also pray to the sadhus when they come to their house. And his mother also, although she was not so understanding of the playing mridanga and the philosophy, she was a very religious man, and she always said special mantras to protect Abai. And she also was very careful with prasadam. Anytime she saw a grain of rice on the floor, she told Abai, you have to pick this. This is God's mercy. We cannot waste it. Now, today we see so many people wasting so much food. I was working in corporate America for many years, and they wasted so much food every day. In his childhood, after his childhood, Abai then goes for his education and eventually to college. He went to the Scottish Church College, where he learned worldly education. He learned about Shakespeare, he learned about Dickens, psychology, chemistry, history, and they gave him a new Bible because that was a Christian college. And one time, one of his professors, trying to disparage reincarnation, said, how could that be any reincarnation? How can somebody be judged if there are no witnesses? But Abai thought, is this the Christian philosophy? They don't know that God is everywhere and God is the witness of everything all the time and everywhere? So he was not influenced by that kind of thought. And he told one friend, I don't like all these studies. He was very inclined to his spiritual life, and he was not very fond of all that material life studies. In the college, there was a play, and he played the role of Advaita Acharya. And the producer of the play had them rehearsing for 1 year. And the play was so real that when they performed, people were crying. People felt touched by that play, and they were crying upon seeing that. And once, when he was in college, because he was so busy with the college studies, he took his deities that Prabhupada gave to him, the deity of Krishna, and put in a box because he didn't have time to worship the deity. So Krishna came in a dream and told him, "You should always worship me. A box is no place for me." So he had this dream with Krishna. And also, his father told him, because Abai, he didn't feel much attachment for his wife. And his father told him that that is a great blessing. No, not be completely attached to family and children. Don't see this as a bad thing. That's a good thing. Although Abai was always very dutiful and very responsible. Then came the Gandhi movement. Now Gandhi, of course, was very influential, and many people, many of the youth, they were following Gandhi. And Abai, externally also, he decided to follow Gandhi and wear the dress as a Gandhian follower. However, he said that really this was never completely in my heart to follow Gandhi. Because his goal was not only to liberate a small country like India, and that not trying to put India down, don't think that. But his goal was to liberate the entire planet. India was a very small project for him. He wanted to liberate everybody from all countries, from all races, from all languages. So he didn't feel that the objective of Gandhi was in his heart. Then there is marriage. In 1919, Goramohan was looking for a good wife for his son. And he found a girl from the Swarna Vanik family, family associated with the Muliks, and her name was Radharani Datta. She was only 11 years old. Now, in those days, it was not uncommon that the girls would marry very early. That was part of the culture. So they got married in 1919, and Abai, because he was also still studying, he was on his third year of college, the girl was still living with her parents, and Abai was living with his parents, so he would not have extra household expenses to pay until he completed college. And then he completed college, and it was an important thing because after passing his PA examination, he had cultivated the dream of going to Jagannath Puri since his childhood. He would go to the train station and look at the timetable to see what times the trains would leave for Vrindavan and for Jagannath Puri. And he had this dream that one day I'm going there. And now college was over, and he thought, now I'm going to Jagannath Puri. So he took the train to Jagannath Puri. And his father gave him a letter to introduce him to one of his friends in Jagannath Puri. So he went to the friend, he was introduced, and the friend received him very well. And then the friend invited him for dinner. And when he was about to eat dinner, he looked inside the pot and he saw a piece of something strange. And he asked the host, "What is this?" And the man said, "Oh, this is meat." And Abai said, "No, I don't eat meat. I'm a lifetime vegetarian. How can you offer this to me?" And the man said, "Well, I thought it was okay. It was the best thing to eat." "No." But then he was nice to the man, but he left and never ate in that place again. This is a lesson for many of us, and many Indians also. I had a good friend from India, and we had a meeting in Zurich. So he came from Mumbai, and I came from New York. And then we are eating at a restaurant, and I asked for something vegetarian, and he asks for meat. And he tells me, "Well, I think there's something wrong with this picture." He told me. "Because I'm supposed to be a vegetarian, and you were supposed to be eating meat. Now, you are a vegetarian, I'm eating meat." I said, "I told him, I think something is really wrong with this picture. You should become a vegetarian. Every Indian should become a vegetarian and offer the food to Krishna. Eating meat is just the influence of the Western world and just an illusion. And even so many Westerners, now they understand that this is wrong. I should not do this. Why kill the animals that are so innocent? This is cruel, this is sinful. And every Indian should have a very serious thought about this. And you should tell your friends as well, not just yourself. So, after marriage, there was a meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And this was in 1922. Prabhupada had a friend called Narendranath Mulik. And this friend had gone to see a sadhu with some of his other friends. And he was very impressed by the sadhu. And he told Abai, Abai, I would like you to come with me and see the sadhu. And Abai said, no. I have seen so many of the sadhus. And they are not serious, they are not strict. I don't want to go and see anybody. And he almost had to force Abai to go there. And years later, 26 Second Avenue, when Abai, Prabhupada, was talking to Brahmananda, he asked Brahmananda, how did you join? And Brahmananda said, oh, Prabhupada, actually, I didn't want to come. And Prabhupada said, oh, same with me. I didn't want to come either. Prabhupada, I was actually forced by a friend. And Prabhupada said, same with me. I was also forced by a friend. And then Prabhupada told his story, and Brahmananda told his story. So, but eventually, Prabhupada went to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who was at the Uttadanga Junction Road Temple on the top floor. In India, they have these buildings with a flat floor, and people use that area for meetings and other events. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking at that location, and Prabhupada came, Abhai Charan there, and when he offered obeisances on the floor, because he understood the tradition, he understood to the kind of respect that you show to a master of that caliber. And he was still standing up and sitting down. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, you are an intelligent man. Why don't you preach the mission of Lord Chaitanya in the English language throughout the world? And he was immediately shocked by that request. It was his first meeting. And Prabhupada said in somewhat a challenging way, but how can we preach this Krishna consciousness if India is under the British rule? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that Krishna consciousness cannot wait for anything and does not depend on any king or president and should be spread everywhere. And after the meeting, when they went down at the street, Abhai told him the following. He is wonderful. Now I know Lord Chaitanya's movement is in expert hands. And Prabhupada said that at that moment he accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta as his master, even though it was not officially, but he accepted him as his master. Then he had to conduct business. However, while conducting business, he was more interested in making money to spread the Krishna consciousness movement than to make money for himself. His goal was to become wealthy, but not for himself. He thought, if I have enough money, I can spread this movement all over the world. So he became actually a big businessman. And then many years later, now in 1932, this is 10 years later, he again meets Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in Vrindavan. Now, The Harmonist, that was one of the publications that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had and was in English, not all of them were in English, had an advertisement about a Vrindavana Parikram in 1932. And when Srila Prabhupada read this, he thought, I was not initiated at the time of the Parikrama, but I had very good admiration for this Gaudiya Mata people. They were very kind to me, so I thought, well, what is there in this Parikrama? Let me go there and take a look at it. So he decided to go there. He went from Allahabad to Vrindavan to see the Parikrama. And then he took a rickshaw from Mathura to Koshi, where the campground of the Parikrama was happening. This was a big Parikrama with thousands of people, many tents, and in the center was the tent of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would give classes every day in the evening. However, we have half an hour classes here. His class could last 4, 5, 6 hours. They were very long classes. So, on the first class, somebody announced, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada will be speaking at 5 p.m. And there is also a parikrama to the Shishasai Temple So if you want, you can come to the parikrama or you can stay for the class. And Abai thought, what am I going to gain going to this temple? I'd rather stay here and listen to this great devotee of the Lord and listen to him speaking about Krishna. So he decided to stay with a dozen more attendees. And he stayed from the beginning to the end of the speak, you know, of the class. Then in 1933, a year later, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta goes to Allahabad, and the temple president of the Allahabad, where Prabhupada was living at that time, and he had a pharmacy. He told Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, "This is Abhay Charan, and I would like to recommend him for initiation." And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, "I know him. I marked him. He likes very much to listen." He remembered him sitting and listening to him for hours and hours and hours. And then at that time, he became initiated. And Prabhupada says, "Yeah, so I did not go to the parikrama." He was talking about the parikrama. So he very much appreciated, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta appreciated. There was an announcement that now parikrama will start in the evening at 5, and Prabhupada also will speak. So anyone who wants to hear Prabhupada's master in this case, he can stay. Others, be ready for going. So about a dozen men remained and all went to the parikrama. So I was at that time new man. Not exactly new man, but not recognized disciple. I did not go. So he saw that I am sitting. I did not go to the parikrama. He very much appreciated that I stayed. I preferred to hear him than to go to the parikrama. Then he appreciated. And then Hari Soli says, "That was the same time that you took initiation, Prabhupada?" "Yes, after that I took initiation." "Tamal Krishna, where was the initiation ceremony, Prabhupada?" "That was in Allahabad." "Tamal Krishna, in Allahabad, Prabhupada?" "Yes, 1933. "Tamal Krishna, so from Mathura everyone went to Allahabad, Prabhupada?" "Yes, or they went to some other place, but I came back. From Allahabad I went to Mathura and came back to Allahabad at my own place." Then after the initiation, Prabhupada felt even a more profound urge to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master. He wanted to preach more. He wanted to get more involved in the mission. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told Abhay, "Think of ways to save others. We have no other desire." Again, think of ways to save others. We have no other desire. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him this. He wanted to expand his business, to invest the profit in Lord Krishna's service. That was Abhay's mission. Then in 1935, 2 years later, Abhay met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta again in Vrindavan at the Radha Kunda, and there was an exchange. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very unhappy with things that were happening in his movement, the Gaudiya Math. They had built a very gorgeous marble temple in Bagh Bazar in Calcutta, and the followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta were becoming more interested in having a nice home or a nice office and a prestigious position in the temple than in preaching. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very unhappy because of that. He even said, "It's better that we sell all the marble from this temple and print books." And then he told Abhay, talking to Abhay at that meeting, that there will be fire. There will be misunderstanding in his society, said Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said something that became very important for Srila Prabhupada, and that many times he mentioned during his classes and his speaking with devotees. He said, "If you ever get money, print books." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, "If you ever get money, print books." And Prabhupada said in a class in Los Angeles, "That's why I'm stressing so much. Print books, print books, print books. If they get a book, even if they touch a book, they will be purified." The order was received by the most sincere soul, Prabhupada. This order was actually for all his disciples, but Prabhupada took it to heart. And later, the Hare Krishna movement was able to print so many books. More than 200 million people today have received a book of Krishna in all the languages of the world and in all the countries of the world. And the seed was planted at this exchange at the Radha Kunda in 1935. That's where the seed was planted. The Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, if you got money, you print books. And now we have books everywhere. And we were looking at someone that came to the Hare Krishna movement because I bought a book on the street in Brazil. No. And before I bought it, I never had heard about Krishna in my life. I heard because Prabhupada got disordered, he printed books, and somehow the books landed on my hand. Then he received the title Bhaktivedanta in 1939 because he was so prolific, such a prolific writer. He wrote poems, he wrote essays, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told the director of his printing business, whatever by rights, please print. You should print. He was a very prolific writer. So they gave him the title Bhaktivedanta, the one that is an expert in the philosophy of bhakti. Then in 1944, his master had already left the planet. His father had already left the planet. Prabhupada decided to start the Back to Godhead magazine. He wanted to preach more, and he thought, if I have a magazine, then I can write articles and I can preach more. So he started writing and publishing the famous Back to Godhead magazine. During the war, Abai lived in a small house in Calcutta where he conducted his business. He began to speak out in his journal. Whenever he saw any special event, he would write on this magazine, which was actually just a journal at that time. He wrote about the war, that even if this war would end, how would they prevent another war? What is their option for that? How can they prevent it? And any new important subject that he read in the news, he would take advantage of that and transform into a preaching article. And he had to fight to get paper, because during those days, it was very difficult to get paper. And he had to explain why he needs to buy paper. And they would say, oh, this is not important. What you were doing is not important. And he would write a long letter and insist and explain why this is actually the only thing that is important. And please help me with the papers. And eventually he would convince them with a lot of hard work. And also on this Back to Godhead magazine, he designed a logo. And the logo had a picture of his spiritual master. A beautiful picture. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And he also wrote to important people. He advised Mahatma Gandhi that he should retire from active politics and dedicate to the preaching of Bhagavad Gita to avoid an inglorious death. He sent a letter to Mahatma Gandhi explaining this. And a few weeks later, Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated. He wrote to this man and that man, but most men would pay no attention to him. They would give him no credit. They would not give him any help. Like Prabhupada said many years later, America gave me everything. America gave me money. America gave me men. America gave me books. India gave me only trouble. That's Prabhupada said. In India, always was some problem with the land, with this, with that. His own countrymen that were supposed to support him, to help him, they were not helping. They only wanted to copy the material way of life of the West. And they were proud of that. And the treasure of the spiritual culture, they neglected. They completely neglected. From the top man to the bottom man, with a few exceptions. So he wrote... In 1947, when there was a Hindu-Muslim riot, he wrote to the Rehabilitation Committee chairman, who replied, "Do your Harinam as you like, but we are not interested in your business." Again and again, people would just decline to help. His own men, his own countrymen. He wrote a 1,200-page Gita Upanishad, or Bhagavad Gita. A man came forward to sponsor the publishing of that book, but somehow the manuscript was stolen, 1,200 pages. But Prabhupada again started writing 1,200 more pages. Nothing could stop him. His determination was unstoppable. Even though not many people were interested, Abai had the desire to preach, and that desire became stronger and stronger. Then he had dreams with his spiritual master. With his business dwindling at the age of 56 years old, and his desire growing to preach more, twice in dreams his spiritual master came to him and said, take sannyas, and come with me. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would gesture like this to him, you come with me. He had gone through two of the four ashrams. He was a brahmachari at home. Then he got married. And now he was contemplating to become a vanaprastha. He was coming to the third stage of his life at the age of 56. Should he stay home and save a few people? Or should he go to the world and save people all over the world, in every country, in every culture? What should he do? We should be thankful that he took the second option and that we are here now because of his mercy. And that was the order of his spiritual master, to preach in English. So he decided to establish a league of devotees. He was invited to go to Jhansi. And in Jhansi, he saw a nice place where he could make into a headquarters for his society. And he was able to acquire the place. And he established the League of Devotees. His goal was to train 40 young people to go worldwide and preach Krishna consciousness. That was his goal. He wrote to an old school friend, this is my goal, to train 40 people, and you should be one of the first ones. Prabhupada always used this technique. And he also placed a classified ad looking for candidates from any nationality to qualify themselves as real Brahmanas. He registered the League of Devotees with the local authorities, but he met with opposition. The silent landlord demanded 5,000 rupees, money that Abai did not have. And his pharmacy in Allahabad had been plundered. So things, in the material sense, were not going well. And then he leaves home at the age of 56, after 36 years of being married and being a very responsible man, although detached and very dutiful. He felt that now I should take shelter completely of Krishna. No, time has come. And he leaves home and he goes to the temple of a god brother in the south of Calcutta. And this god brother describes, when Abai came to the temple, he looked so poor, without anything. And for days, he only stayed there, only chanting Hare Krishna. Although his family members criticized him, it was for a greater cause that he had done that. It was for a bigger family, a worldwide family of devotees of Krishna. He was making himself available. And then, he was determined to proceed with the preaching of Krishna consciousness. But he was not stubborn, a lesson that we should learn. When he saw that the League of Devotees in Jhansi was not moving forward because Suryamukhi, she asked him to vacate the place. She was an influential woman and she wanted the place for a woman's society. And the governor's wife was behind her. And one of Prabhupada's allies told him, you can go to court and fight this. But he thought, I left family life to preach, now I'm going to fight in court. No, Krishna doesn't want this. But Krishna doesn't want Jhansi. But Krishna wants the League of Devotees. And he was determined to proceed with that. In 1950 were difficult years. No, he didn't have proper food. He didn't have proper residence. And he was moving from one place to another. Although he could establish himself in a temple, or he could have his own house and live comfortably, he was determined to preach. And now India was independent, but the politicians were determined to forget the best of their own culture and only look at the West. They forgot their culture. That was their goal. A sannyasi god brother invited him to edit one of their magazines, the Sajjana Toshani. And Prabhupada accepted. Although, when he got to the temple, there was no money, there was no typewriter, there was no promise of a typewriter, there was not even money to buy a dhoti. But even under that circumstances, he said, okay, but I will edit this magazine. But then he wrote to the god brother, who was in another location, but we need to do this like the, what is it called? Illustrated Weekly, in color. and print thousands of copies. But the God brother was not so enthusiastic about that. He said, no, no, you can follow your lofty dreams, but we are going to follow our own small printing here. So Prabhupada understood, I'm not going to make any progress here. So he decided to revive his own Back to God magazine. He used to go to wealthy people asking for donation, but rarely he would get 5 rupees. And another ad, he placed another ad in the newspapers that read, he studied the spiritual secret of Bhagavad Gita at home by correspondence and become a strong man. And Krishna was maintaining him with little money and little facilities. But still, he wanted to revive his Back to God magazine. And he used to go to the printing press without money. He would not take a rickshaw. He would go walking. He didn't have money to buy breakfast. He would get there fasting. And the man from the printing press would tell him, why so much dedication for this? Sometimes the man would pay him breakfast. Why so much sacrifice? Why so much dedication now in this later stage of your life? And he had a heat stroke in New Delhi because he was not only the writer of the magazine, he was the producer of the magazine. He used to go to the printing press and he was also the distributor of the magazine. And at one time, at the temperature of 115 degrees in New Delhi, he had a heat stroke and he collapsed. And a man passing by in his car took him to the hospital to help him. So he was the first book distributor. I have to speed up because it's almost 6 o'clock and I want to get to Prabhupada's departure. But basically he continued producing his Back to God magazine. And then he moved to Vrindavan. And then he takes sannyas from Keshava Maharaj. In that sannyas ceremony, there was another man who was 90 years old, he was taking sannyas, and the purpose of that man was to distance himself from the world and dedicate to chanting. But Prabhupada's goal was actually to go into the world, and not only any world, but to go to the West and take Krishna consciousness. That was his goal in becoming a sannyas. And then he moved. This was on the 17th of September of 1959 when he took sannyas. And then he moved to the Radha Damodar Temple, where he used to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning to translate the books. And he had a manual typewriter where he typed the Bhagavatam. And he was known in Vrindavan as the Swami who is always writing. That was, you know, they knew him as the Swami who is always writing. And he would have one meal a day, only one meal a day, and wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then he was printing, and he was able, with a lot of effort, to print 3 volumes of the Bhagavatam. And one of them is right there behind you. It's open on the right side, on the second shelf from the bottom. That one of the original Bhagavatams that Prabhupada brought to America in 1965. And then, casually, he met a Mr. Agarwal in Mathura, who told him that, well, I have a son who lives in Butner, Pennsylvania. Perhaps he can sponsor you to go to America, sponsor your papers. And Prabhupada took it seriously. And he got a letter of sponsorship from this Mr. Agarwal in Butler, Pennsylvania. And he went to see Sumati Murarji, the owner of the Sindhya Ship Company in Mumbai. She had these cargo ships. And he was insisting that she give him a ticket to go to America on one of those ships. But he was 69 years old, and she said, I'm not going to do this. You are going to die there. It's very cold. Here in India, everybody respects you. There, in the US, you're going to die. I cannot do this. But he insisted, and he insisted. He said, this is the order of my spiritual master. He gave this order to me, you know, when I was a young man in my 20s. And now, I am 69 years old. I must accomplish this order. I must go. Please help me. And she gave the ticket. But then there was one obstacle. There was a P form, a document that he had to get from the Indian government. And when he went to get this P form, the clerk said, sir, this letter of sponsorship I cannot accept. Because we only accept letters of sponsorship from institutions. This is a letter from a sponsorship from a man. He's not an institution. Mr. Agarwal is just an individual. I cannot accept this. Now he has ticket. He has books. He's ready to go. But there is one paper, one obstacle. And Prabhupada said, no, this is unacceptable. Please call your manager. Prabhupada was very assertive. He would not take no as an answer. So suddenly the manager comes, waving the paper in the air. Swamiji, everything is okay. I already approved everything. Boom. He got his passport. Then he takes the agent from Cindy Company, takes Prabhupada shopping because Prabhupada didn't have money. He bought him some clothes. He had an umbrella also that he carried to the U.S. And he had three trunks of books which went separately on another ship and were boarded in the Sindhya Jaladutta ship in Cochin on the southwest coast of India when the Jaladutta stopped there on the way to America. And then he took a train from Mumbai to Calcutta. Have you done this trip? I did this trip on second class. I won't tell you the story. But it's a very long trip. I did it in 1984. 24 hours, 30 hours, because it stopped so many times. And then from there, he took a taxi to the dock. And with him was his son, Vrindavan Chandra De. And when asked by Radhanath Swami, how did you feel about your father going to America alone without money? And Vrindavan Chandra De said, I felt very proud of my father. So then, at that point, carrying his Chaitanya Charitamrita, he departs from America. Hare Krishna. If you have any comments, any questions, I want to thank Bhakti Janini that she helped me so much to put this together. I could not do without her help. Any comments, any questions? Yes, please. Comments or questions? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.